Hare Krishna. May I ask if any one of you has an English Bhagavatam, or maybe we can actually ask Venugopal, could you ask Vishnumurti Prabhu, Venugopal, you first have to know for what you have to ask him. First canto, 8th chapter, text 42. If you can bring it in either Bhagavatam in one volume or in some ways. Yes? He left. Okay. You have in the laptop, Mahachandra, you are an angel. Yeah. 1842, okay? Okay. Look at Namara. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hi, Bob!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Nitaya Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai Gaura Nitai. Jaya Jagana, Jaya Jagana, Jaya Baladeva, Jaya Sivaja. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Paravaraja Kacharya Astato Satasi Simati Stivayin Grace Sila Ave Charanaravinda Sila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anant Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Sila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Premsa Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinata Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Mathura Dham ki jai, Ganga Maya Yamuna Maya ki jai, Bhakti Devi Tulasi Devi ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Transcendental Bhaktis Devotion ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo, All glories to the Assembly Bodies, All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to CC Guru and Shiguranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Mani Manjari, are you here? Would you, in your kind Dr. Bay, yes. I'm sorry that. You can tell them that you will operate them very carefully when they. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today I want to give a hopefully very interesting lecture. I've called it The War of Emotions. It is actually a very intense subject matter. See, in the outset, I would like to say that all of us who are here in this tent, all of us who are practicing Krishna consciousness, have really two natures in them, a divine nature and the material nature. In some ways, we are like the warriors or the heroes of the Mahabharata. You know, the 5 Pandavas, or the 6 Pandavas, as we will soon learn, all had divine fathers. Indra, then Surya, Vayu, the Ashwini Kumars, they are all divine beings who were fathering the 6 Pandavas. You will soon find out why 6 Pandavas and not 5 Pandavas. So the Pandavas had really divine attributes in their personality, attributes which they often forgot as they were active here on the material field, on the earthly field. In this way, they all resemble us. We are here in our own little life and in our own little world. But really, we are all children of eternity. We can look at our young mother, Olya, who is holding young Jakob. On the human level, they are mother and child. But on a higher spiritual level, it's a different picture. There we do not know if Olya is a woman and young Jakob a man. There they are all eternal children of God. Only here on this level they play the theater performance of a family life. So in the following story which I will tell you, we will hear of the tensions which can come about when we have 2 natures in us. We will hear of the intense emotions. We will hear of a war of emotions. And we will hear of a solution to this war. I think you will all agree that sometimes at your stage in your life, you may feel this tension within yourself. One tension we have described a little while ago in our lecture, The Divided Self. It's when there is a tension of interest. Our material side wants one thing, and our spiritual side yearns for Krishna. So I hope that, let us all pray now, because I hope to make it a very deep and very moving lecture. So we need the blessing of the higher authorities. Please repeat. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Kaskatyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Nisna Krishna Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We will enter our discussion today with a scene which took place 5,000 years ago on the bank of Mother Ganga. The low-born Atirata, a chariot, a chariot driver, went down to the Ganga. It was a cool afternoon, and he wanted to spend his time thinking a little bit about new steps for his family life. He wanted so much to have a son, but somehow his wife, Radha, could not conceive a child. It was a childless family. Atirata, the chariot driver, was in low spirit that afternoon. He sat for some time at the bank of the Ganga. All of a sudden, a basket captured his attention, which came floating down the Ganga. He went in the Ganga to capture the basket and bring it to the shore. How surprised he was! Inside the basket, he found a beautiful boy with golden earrings and an armor. Protective armor out of silver, a kavacha. He took the little boy from the basket and brought it to Radha and said, Radha, my wife, Providence has blessed us with a boy. This is some heavenly divine boy. Look at his earrings and his armor. How unusual. We will take him as our adopted son. And Radha was very pleased and called the boy Radheha after the mother. Radheha grew up. He wouldn't mix so much with the other boys. Often one would find him on the side of the place of the boys, in deep thought. When Radheha turned 16 years of age, there was a question what means of livelihood he would take up. His father wanted to teach him how to become a chariot driver, train horses and guide horses. But the young boy said, Father, I cannot do this job. My arms are aching to hold the bow. I want to use the sword and the club to defend innocent people from hurt. Father, I don't feel like a Shudra. I feel like a Kshatriya. Can you teach me how to use this word? Atirata said, oh no, this means deep trouble. One day, his son Radheha was no longer at his home. He tried to find out where he was, but Radheha had disappeared. For you and me, he had left home for good. He had gone to the Himalayas to find a guru in the art of fighting. Yes, he wanted to learn martial arts. The art of the warrior. Now, while all this was happening, in the capital of the land, another scene took place. There was the Queen Kunti. Queen Kunti had deep feelings of guilt and shame and fear. She had five wonderful sons who were known all over the countries as the five Pandavas. But Queen Kunti had a secret in her heart. She had another son. A son which she had given to Mother Ganga when he was born. Right after the birth. Can you imagine what it means for a young mother to give her first born son away? Stadvavali is a young mother. Can you imagine what it means to give away your daughter? It would be your death. Mothers are very closely connected to their children. Or Olya to give away her little Jakob. It's not possible to even imagine this scenario. Kunti had to give away her son. Listen very carefully. Once the saint Durvasa had come to her father's house, and Kunti served him so well. She gave him food, she washed his clothes, so that at the end of his stay, Durvasa said, "I bless you, young princess. You can call any of the divine beings and receive a son from him, and your virginity will be kept intact." And Durvasa told her the mantra. So one day, Kunti was only 16 years of age. It was a hot afternoon like this one. It was boring for a young girl of her age. And she thought, "I received this mantra. Let us see what happens. Maybe something interesting happens." And she said, "Dali Dali Da Suyaya Namaha." All of a sudden, the room filled with a mystical light. And in the light, the sun god, Suryadev, appeared. "Yes, you have called me." "Just for interest. This is not maybe so nice for you, the palace. You may go to your planet and enjoy." "No, you have not called me in vain. I will give you a child now."
No need. "I am not married with you. What will society think if I receive a child without a proper marriage? I will not be able to marry again. And what is with my virginity? I will be a sinful, low-born girl from the street."
"You will get a child, Princess Kunti, and your virginity will be intact. Do not fear." And then Suryadev gave Kunti a little boy. And when the boy was born, he had golden earrings and a silver kavacha. His name was Karna. Kunti was in great pain.
How could she show her son to the rest of society? And what would people think of her? They would say, she's an ordinary her.
Prostitute. So she put the little boy in a basket. He said, I will give you now in the hands of God, my boy. You're my son. But the circumstances, God will protect you and me. And she cried. Then she whispered in the ears of her little boy, I will soon see you someday. In the distant future, and I will recognize you by your golden earrings and by your silver armor. And then the basket went into the distant, being carried by the hands of Mother Ganga. Now we know why Radheya, whose name was actually Kana, could never identify with being the son of a charioteer. We know now why he did not feel that his job in the future would be to guide the horses. And we know now why his arms ached to draw the bow and fight with the sword. He was the son of Suryadev, the sun god, a Kshatriya, the most glorious Kshatriya. And he felt out of place because he didn't know his identity. My dear devotees, think about this carefully. Although your stomachs are digesting your midday meal and you are a little tired, think, aren't we all like this boy? Aren't we all in ignorance about our spiritual identity? We know some theoretically, yes, we are eternal souls, children of eternity. And we also feel that we somehow don't always fit in this world. As the Bhagavatam say, we all have a feeling that this is too narrow, the material experience. It's not what satisfies me in my heart. We all feel, especially devotees either of Krishna or in the Christianity of God, they don't feel they fit here. They feel it's too narrow. Listen very carefully as this most amazing story unfolds. And always think how this applies to you. At the end, you will hear a solution of this dilemma which will make you cry with happiness. Years rolled by. Kunti had married Pandu. She had, as I said before, five glorious sons who were all trained by Dronacharya. Her husband Pandu had died in the forest, but her sons were a worthy replacement. How proud she felt of Yudhishthira, the son who was born by a father called Dhammaraj, the god of justice. How proud she was of Arjuna, who was her own son with Indra. Yes, my dear audience, you have heard properly. Kunti called upon the mighty demigods, the heavenly beings, the celestials, to receive her sons, because Pandu couldn't give her any sons. And how proud she was
of Bhima, who was so strong. He was the son of the wind god. When he was born, he had fallen from her lap and fallen on a stone. And the stone had cracked. He was so strong. Dionysus, this is not like you. Much stronger. How proud Mother Kunti was of her sons Sahadev and Nakula, yes, who were born of the two celestial doctors, the Ashwini Kumars. And now all her sons were trained under Dronacharya in the art of weaponry. When their education was finished, the five Pandavas came in the arena in Hastinapur to show their military skills. Oh, these five Pandavas, my dear devotees. Sahadev and Nakula could ride with the speed of the mind on beautiful horses. Bhima could fight with 1,000 men and defeat them all at once. Yudhishthira was excellent with the sword, and Arjuna knew how to hit any target with his celebrated bow, Gandiva. My dear devotees, that was a contest. Nowadays people don't know how to display military abilities. Now at the end of the whole military show, there was some commotion at the entrance of the arena. And then a Kshatriya entered, who looked like a walking mountain. He had golden earrings and an armor made out of silver. The Kshatriya went into the middle of the arena and said with a loud voice, "Arjuna, I challenge you for a duel. I can do any military feat which you have done much better." And he drew his bow and his arrows came. He shot one arrow, and this arrow came into 1,000 arrows. And they came before the feet of Arjuna to pay their Kshatriya Dandavat. Let's fight. Arjuna had been celebrated as the best warrior in that military context, and he immediately was ready to prove his name. But there was one objection. Was this unknown Kshatriya entitled to fight with Arjuna? Arjuna had come from the best family, which was the family of this man. Duryodhana, who was on the other side of the Pandavas, he was at the enemy side, he saw his chance. He said, "This man can fight with Arjuna. I will make him now a king." He took a crown, gave him a bath. King Swaha. And made him a king. I mean, some brahmanas, it was a little bit more complicated. At this moment said, before these two Kripacharya said, "I somehow don't feel it's good. These are lion amongst men. if they fight, they will fight until one of them is death. I don't know if it's right. Do you know another person in the audience who felt fear in her heart? Mother Kunti. As soon as Kana had entered the arena, she saw the rings and the silver armor, and she remembered, my boy, and how I said, I will recognize you in the distant future by your golden earrings and your armor. And now, my boy is fighting against my other boy, Arjuna. But she was silent. She was afraid to tell the truth. My dear devotees, are we not also sometimes in the same situation? That we know what is right. We know what is to be said. But we are silent. We don't say it. Because we are afraid. At this moment, Atirata, you remember Atirata? Draupadi, no. It was the man who took out the basket and took Kana as the adopted son. Atirata came. He had a dirty chatter with a lot of sweat. It was hot. He was a low-born person. He was smelling. And he ran over the arena. Sine, my Sine, don't fight with Arjuna. And he embraced him and cried. At that moment, Kana began to cry. Father, 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 are you my father? At this moment, the whole arena began to protest. What? He's the son of this chariot driver? Can he fight with the Prince Arjuna? Bhima came out and he said, he's a Suta's son. Is it right if a dog eats a sacrificial offering? He should be a chariot driver. Out, go to your horses, young man. Oh, you will feel my club. Go, quick. And Kana was hanging down his head. He knew the rules were set. The son of a chariot driver could never fight with an exalted prince. But inside his heart, he made a terrible vow. He would never forget that particular hour. He said, I will not wash my feet again until this Arjuna is dead. At this moment, a cloud came and covered the sun. The next moment, the sun pierced through the cloud. But again the cloud came and covered the sun. Two enemies were born, whose enmity would be so dangerous. They were the most mighty warriors which planet Earth had ever seen. And they would never make peace. It was not possible. And the gods knew, and Kunti knew, they were brothers.
Prachan. Yeah. Yes, I said it's very heavy. My dear devotees, are we not also sometimes in conflicts which people, which are devotees, which are our brothers? Yeah, that's a very human story which you will hear now. And Kunti was silent. She couldn't say anything. The animosity between Karna and the Pandavas erupted due to political arrangements. Karna took the side of Duryodhana, the sworn enemies of the Pandavas, and due to the arrangements of the Lord and Kala, one day the mighty Kaurava army stood in armed conflict against the army of the Pandavas. It would be the most terrible war which the planet Earth had ever seen. One day, before the war erupted, Krishna came to Karna. He took Karna on his chariot. We have to talk something amongst men. And Krishna told Karna, Karna, you are on the wrong side. You shouldn't fight the Pandavas. They are your brothers. And Krishna told him how Kunti had given birth to 6 children, and because she was unmarried when she received Karna, she gave him into the hands of God, into the hands of Mother Ganga. Don't fight, said Krishna. If you don't fight, Duryodhana will not dare to fight the Pandavas. A war can be avoided. You will become the emperor of the world because the Pandavas will recognize you as their oldest brother, and you will also be served by the beautiful Draupadi, who is the wife of all the Pandavas. Karna looked at Krishna. In his heart he knew that Krishna is God. In his heart he also knew that Krishna, as time, had already determined the outcome of the battle of Kurukshetra, which was just about to start. But Karna had no devotion in his heart. He did not want to follow Krishna's directions and orders. He knew, I am of divine origins, but I don't follow. My dear devotees, are we not sometimes in the same situation, that we feel it is necessary to surrender to Krishna and his plan, but somehow some voice in us says, no, 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 not Krishna's plan. My plan should be done. Karna said, Vasudev, I have heard what you had to tell me. You say Kunti is my mother. But Kunti threw me out when I was a stillborn baby. And Adirata, a chariot driver, saw me and carried me home. He gave me to his wife Radha with love. Out of love for me, Radha immediately developed milk in her breasts and fed me. And out of love for me, she accepted my stool and my urine.
when I was in her arms. A man who has listened to many scriptures like me will always follow the law. Arirata loves me as his son, and my love tells me that I must accept him as my father. Let now the great sacrifice start. The sacrifice of war. The next morning, it was the day of the when the battlefield was to start. Karna was looking into the sun. He could look for hours into the sun. The sun would never harm his eyes. We know why. He is the son of the sun. A brahmana came by. It was Indra in disguise. And he said, O Karna, I came to beg charity from you. Karna was a very good man and he said, yes, whatever you want. Give me your earrings, Karna. And give me your silver armor, which will make you indefeatable. All right, said Karna. Blood was coming forth. No problem, he is a Kshatriya, you know, no problem. Yes. And Karna knew, I won't win this war. Then the brahmana disappeared. The next person who came was Kunti. Kunti was crying. Karna, my sin, you will fight with your brothers. Mother, said Karna, I know that you are my mother. Why were you silent so long? Why now? I have promised Duryodhana to fight. He has given me a kingdom and food. But Karna, will you fight with your brothers? And kill your brothers? Mother, there always will be 5 Pandavas. Never 6 Pandavas. I will not fight with Yudhishthira. I will fight with him, but I will not kill him. I will fight with Bhima, but I will not kill him. I will fight with the 2 twins, Nakula and Sahadev. I will not kill them. I only want Arjuna. It's either him who will live or me. So there will always be 5 Pandavas. You have nothing to worry, mother. You are known as the mother of the 5 Pandavas. Don't fear, you will be known always as the mother of the 5 Pandavas, but not of the 6 Pandavas. Then he turned his back to his mother and prepared for war. There was a terrible war day. At the end of the war day, Kana was lying on the battlefield, bathed in the blood of his heart. Arjuna had killed him with a powerful weapon. Kunti was silent. She didn't speak then. Only after the whole war was fought, which costed millions of lives, Kunti one day broke her silence. It was when the Pandavas lamented for those who had died, their relatives, and when they made the funeral offerings to Mother Ganga. The five Pandavas had just finished their mourning duties. They just came out of the Ganga where they had offered water, when the mother said, "There is a last oblation to be done by you." "Who is this?" said Yudhishthira. Kunti looked into the eyes of Yudhishthira for a moment which looked like eternity. "It's your brother who has been killed by another brother. Kana is my son." And she fell down unconscious. Five Pandavas did not know. Had they heard properly? Kana, whom they mysteriously loved, whom they held in high regards, the noble Kana, who was so angry at them, their brother. They waited for Kunti to confirm. When Kunti was out of her swoon, she confirmed it. Yudhishthira was so disturbed. "We have killed our brother. We don't want this crown. We don't want this success. War is so terrible." Then all his rage turned against his mother. I won't point to poor Stava. I will point to the imaginary mother in the room. "Mother! Why have you not said anything? I will curse all the women of the planet Earth. They will never, ever be able to keep a secret for themselves from now on. They will have to talk so that this cannot happen again." Hare Krishna. Now the women are noting this down. "We are fully authorized to talk Yudhishthira Kaje. He is Dharmaraj. He is the Lord of Dharma." Kunti fainted again in the war of emotions. The Pandavas had won, but there was a sorrow. At the end of the battle, they met. Krishna wanted to say goodbye. He had guided the chariot of Arjuna, and he wanted now to go to his own town, Dwaraka. He sat on his chariot, ready to go. At this moment, Uttara approached. Uttara was the wife of the son of Arjuna. She said, "My dear Krishna, a bomb is coming my way. the Brahmastra of Ashvatam. It is aimed to kill the embryo in my womb. I'm pregnant. Please protect me. That moment the bomb came. The Pandavas wanted to divert it. It was too late. The bomb came. Entering the womb of Uttara. But Krishna was faster. He was there as a super soul. He stood before the embryo with his club. And made such a shield with his club that the bomb went like ping and disappeared. Kunti was in ecstasy. And she began to pray prayers. And my dear devotees, these prayers are the solution for this dilemma which we are discussing. Kunti glorified Lord Krishna in a general way, and she described his descent into this world and said it's not possible really for any human being to understand the Lord. Then Kunti retells how the Lord protected her and her family during the difficult time of the exile. And then she said that there is really no other shelter than Lord Krishna. She explains that only someone who has become materially exhausted, that means he has no hopes in material life, can approach the Lord with sincere feelings. And Queen Kunti was such a person. She said a very nice shloka, which I want to read with you. O Lord of the Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Please chant with me in Sanskrit. Tvai me nanya vishaya matiya madhu pate sakrit ratim utvahatat adha gange vogam udanvati. Queen Kunti comes to an amazing conclusion. She has just gone through a terrible war of emotions. There was her one son and there was her other son. They had killed themselves, one had killed the other. She felt so strongly for her sons. But she felt she had to remain silent. The feelings of shame blocked her tongue and she couldn't speak. The feelings of guilt blocked her heart and she couldn't cry. But now she knew, in all these emotional wars, there's only one shelter really. Just like the Ganga flows to the ocean constantly without hindrance and pours itself into the arms of the ocean. In the same way, the soul who is of a divine origin may go like the river Ganga through so many experiences, countries, mountains, past trees and towns, but ultimately the soul has to pour its love in the open arms of the Lord. That is the ultimate shelter. That is the ultimate solace. That's the ultimate victory in our own war of emotions. As you enter this material atmosphere, rest assured, you will have your war of emotions. Govinda Das, the poet, says, Bajahure mana shinanda nanana abaya charanara vindare tulaba manava janama satsange tulaba manava janama satsange banaho eva sindure. Yes, bhava sindure. It means, sindu means ocean, and bhava means emotions. In this ocean of emotion, there are the safe lotus feet of Sri Nandana, Lord Krishna. And only these lotus feet will give you freedom from fear. Queen Kunti had realized this. She was a family woman, a woman with a very interesting family, a family of warriors, of heroes. And after everything was said and done, her conclusion was, yes, I love my family, but I want to be like the river Ganga, who pours itself endlessly into the open arms of the ocean. Yes. So I really was thinking very deeply about this. I must say the first time where I thought about this, that the drama of Kunti had caught me totally in surprise. It was in one of our summer camps in Pula, Premathura, Premathura. And one evening there was an announcement that a theater play would happen. And I thought, oh yeah, I know these theater plays. They are sometimes a little groovy in the, because we don't have any proper actors. I will go to bed early today. But somehow I ended up in the first row of the theater play. It was such a good theater. Tako dobro. I remember Anupma was playing Kunti. Is this true? What? Janava was playing. And somehow, I don't know, when I left the theater play, I felt so moved. I went to my room and I was crying. What a story! Isn't it my own story? I felt like Kana and like Kunti also, who was silent. Because she couldn't speak. Then I was thinking about the solution. We are of divine origins, having a very human experience at the moment. Our solution is when we also can say, O Lord of sweetness. Madhu? As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. Oops. Let us see.
Prabhupada writes a very, very nice purport here to this verse, which the last point of the purport I want to tell you a little bit about. Was Kunti's affection to her sons not good? It was very good. It is said that her sons were all great devotees. So you serve Krishna really by serving first the devotees. So Queen Kunti did very nice Vaishnav Seva. But still she felt her affection to Krishna should be on the first place. This gives us something to think about. Today in a meeting, one devotee asked me, what is if I think of the time of death of the devotees who are dear to me? Is that good, or should I just think of Krishna alone? Or what is about relationships which we should take up in this world? This is a question which is a side question. And the answers, my dear devotee, is very sweet and very nice. Yes, we should have relations, but they should be spiritual relations. How do you make a spiritual relation to another devotee? Prabhupada writes, this relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium, it's the last paragraph, of the relation with the super soul. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing, but seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. See, in spiritual life, in spiritual friendships, we should not have just two people, friend one and friend two. We need another friend, the super soul or Krishna, so that we can lead a spiritual relationship. It's also very important for friendships, but also important for marriages, in the marriage life. We need Krishna. When I'm requested to be there as a priest doing marriages, I always say, this is a marriage between three. Three osobas. And all my guests are going, what? I knew these Hare Krishnas are strange. It's the greatest mistake that I came to this marriage. Then I said, jeden Minute, one moment. And then I explained, no, there must be God in the relationship. Just like when two people talk to each other, there must be the sun, the sun, so that they can see each other. In the same way, if you really want to see the other friend as he really is, you must be sure that Krishna is there. If you have relationships without Krishna in the center, you will sometimes like each other and sometimes hate each other. But if you can see Krishna in the center, then your brahmachari friendships or brahmacharini friendships will be super. Your girl-to-girl friendship will be pupa, priyatelskya, yes, or your man-to-man relationship will be super. Or also your husband and wife relationship will be good. If there is Krishna, you can also see your little son or daughter as an eternal soul who is on her way or his way back to Krishna. With Krishna in a relationship, you can apply respect to the relationship. You can see what is the needs of the other persons, and you can fulfill it as a service. But when Krishna leaves the relationship,
Maya enters. And when Maya enters a relationship, self-centeredness and greed comes. So Queen Kunti is our great example how she prayed for Krishna to appear in the relationship of her family. She remained a wonderful mother, living with her exalted sons, giving them guidance, and ultimately going with them on the way of the great departure, where they left this world to join Lord Krishna in the spiritual sky again, where they could leave this world with its human battlefield of affection and sadness, of high joy and high misery, and where they could go back to the eternal sky, where they would be lovers of the Supreme Lord in mutual devotee friendship. So, Hare Krishna. I hope this lecture is a little, you have to think a lot on your own. The messages are not so, you have to extract them yourselves. But just think about this story, you know. Deva Deva, isn't it wonderful? Right, it's very real. I will give my last seminar tomorrow on in the morning. I will not go to Zagreb as it was originally planned, but stay here. I want to invite you. I wanted to give my last seminar today, but then in the last minute I heard that I have another opportunity to address you tomorrow. So I will see you if you are still here. I wanted to also invite all of you. Please come to the Serbian summer camp. Now I will make a little advertisement. This summer camp will be very special because there will be only non-devotees in the form of trees around. These trees have no tape recorders. They don't go in bathing suits around. They like devotees and quickly become devotees. So it is very easily possible to feel a very strong spiritual atmosphere very quickly. So you please all come and bring your friends, because it was so nice to be together. If you can't come, I can also understand that. Bhakti Granta Prabhu will give a little information about the Serbian summer camp. Maybe it's a good idea if you do this just now, Bhakti Granta. We have a few more minutes before Artik, because devotees might do. Why don't you come here that we can all see you? Srila, let us just say, Srila Prabhupada ki jay. The pure devotee Queen Kunti ki jay. The Panch Pandavas ki. Kanaji ki. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna.
Samo pre nego što počnem, htio sam da pitam koliko